patients received two letters for apologies. One is from Dr. Maluka and Professor Roy Marcus, the chairperson and the executive board member, and the non-executive board member of NEMISA. The chairperson, she called in the morning and indicated that her child is not well. She's attending to that matter. So those are the apologies from the NEMISA, whatever you call them. I don't know whether they're still the NEMISA or something else. And I've got the apology from the minister also. She's attending the BRICS engagement in Durban. Members, we've got the documents which is written. Let me say, members receive a document of the NEMISA original. But if you have been listening, there's been this indication of the merger between eSkills, NEMISA and EVA to be one entity and so on. So you've got the integrated presentation. So if you have read the NEMISA document, you're still going to find some of the things on the integrated one. You can also still be able to follow. You are not that lost. But because of the it's a merger, the third quarter will be on the miss. And then when you give the other way, you are going to use the integrated document, which is still contain the miss, but the issue of the e-skills and the other one is also coming. Is coming in there and so on. Dr. Vesso, you know that when you present to the quarter, you only talk to issues which we have not achieved, not those we have achieved. Welcome. I'm not sure who's the chairperson of the delegation. I've not been informed, but welcome whoever is the acting chair. Dr. Vesso, the acting CEO, and the other executive members and the board members who might be here. Members, this is NEMISA Stock Integrated Institute. So they've got the name and the surname. The name is NEMISA, the surname is Integrated Institute. So whoever will be leading us, I'll hand over to the acting chair to introduce your team and then go on with the work. Like I'm saying, when you present the headquarter, go to the not achieved areas, not the achieved one. Thanks, Emma.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Haitiu Lenepa. I'm the acting chairperson on behalf of delegated by the board chairperson who couldn't be here today. This person has already received the apology from her. What we're going to what before we even talk about what we're going to do, I'd like to introduce the team that is here with me. From the board we have Mr. Tarika Plaki, and from the executives we've got the acting CEO, Dr. Vesso, and we've got our CCO, COO, Mr. Takalani Netsitumba. Yeah, my own language is Afrikaans, so Mr. Ledamutsu. Yeah, did I say it right, madam? Better. We've got our CFO with us, Mrs. Marakalaka, sitting behind you. So what we will do, we'll start first with the third quarter report. And as we've been requested, I mean, we'll focus only on problematic areas. And then we will go into our prep plan and the APP. I must say up front that I mean our strategy and APP is for the as we have some time ago, last year, I think around this November, we did mention to the committee that, I mean, we are really integrating three entities, which is the eSkills, the ESA, and NEMISA. So we have gone down the road. I mean, we are at a level where we've got a plan now, I mean, to start executing all the integrated, I mean, entities this year, this 13-14. So our 13-14 plan will be the integrated one. I think members do have an integrated plan. And without any further ado, I mean, I'll give over to Dr. Veso to take us through the third quarter report, and then we will go on to the APP and the third plan. Cheers.
I think the chairperson also.
All don't have that what?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will explain the documents that you have in front of you. Good evening or good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and members. Also allow me to just also introduce another colleague, Ms. Emuna Sharif. She is a senior manager in the eSkills Institute. We will first, you know, as you have heard, take you through the third quarter report. Mr. Takulani, the CEO, will do that, and I will do then the integrated strategic plan and APP after that. You would have received the slide presentation earlier last week. What I've handed out today is the two documents, the strategic plan.
Is that the third quarter report which you are giving now?
No, just an introduction.
I give the third quarter report, Papa. That's work.
Yeah.
We are hard at work.
All right. Good, so we immediately give
that call. You still have caused me a problem now. Yeah. Sting?
I'm just wondering, you gave an instruction that Dr. Vessel should only concentrate on the targets not achieved. My recollection last week was that there were three targets and they were all achieved, so we can let him carry on straight to the center.
If it were indeed, he must have done so. Dr. Vessel?
We have to deal with a third quarter report of NEMISA, and then we will go on to the Integrated Institute. CEO?
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I know it's been a long day, so I'll just get very short. The quarterly report is for NEMISA's third quarter performance. And as you will know, we've got five strategic priorities, and I will report as per the direction of the chair on the issues where we've got challenges. The strategic objective one, which talks to technology research, training and development, as well as the Center of Excellence in ICT. Resource allocations make us not to have a fully fledged research and development center. The other issue is that out of the five programs that NEMISA is registered for with the MICT CETA, we have a challenge with one where our status of accreditation is not confirmed due to the migration of the authority for accreditation from the CETA to the Council on Higher Education. So the process of pursuing accreditation with VHG is still in process. Safe to say that we are looking for solutions for the warm bodies, those who have graduated and those who are still in the pipeline, so that we get them alternative vehicles for them to achieve that qualification endorsed by an ETQA. So that process we're busy with to ensure that the fate of the learners is also covered. The summative assessment, the process of verification and internal moderation, I think at the point when the report was written, bearing in mind that the headquarter report is at the end of November, we had just finished with assessments and we were awaiting other processes that deal with verification by the ETQA, the CIA itself, so that the outcomes can be endorsed by the city. Learner record management system is a system that assists us to manage the performance of the learner from registration up until they leave. So that is a system that we are busy implementing. Staff have been trained and we don't have that many problems with that. The functional library, same as the research and development center, we've got minimum resourcing there, but we've got online access for students to supplement the referencing that they would need for their assignments, as well as subscription to newspapers and journals. So there is some access, you know, alternative access to information, rather than the fully stocked shelves with books and all those things. Benchmarking, which we were supposed to also do international benchmarking, you will remember that when NEMISA was founded, we had assistance, technical assistance from the Canadians, as well as the Malaysians to design some of the programs. It was one of the targets that we do, not just our own national benchmarking, but also do that internationally. And we had to hold that back due to constraints in terms of resources. Still on strategic objective one, agreements with national and international ICT institutions. We have draft MOUs with the Harbin Film Commission. We've got proposals from Taiwan for a cooperation agreement that was facilitated by the DOC. And we've sent proposals to MTN as well as the National Lottery Board. And we are hopeful that we might get a positive outcome from at least two of those. There's not much progress, Chair, with regards to research due to resource constraints. And as you will recall the last time that we were here, we did indicate that, in fact, most of the targets that we had were very ambitious in the sense that there was no funding that we had historically for those targets. So the research capacity of the institution is such that there's minimum movement with regards to that. We've got a very effective student affairs, so maybe I should not talk more about that because you said I should only raise the challenges. Financial viability in terms of additional revenue that we can generate outside of the allocation that we get from Treasury. I've already mentioned proposals that we made. We are also busy with community radio projects to assist the sector to train community radio stations. You are aware about the National Digital Repository, which project is currently being concluded with the 13 episodes that we are concluding now at the end of March. And the next stage in that project is the marketing of the NDR, so that there is much more exposure.
It's the National Democratic Revolution.
No, we use it for something in CHA.
Nothing to do with the revolution.
It is a component of the NDR in the sense that the objectives of the NDR in terms of how Africans begin to profile their own culture and heritage and history. We do that, but it's not National Democratic Revolution. National Digital Repository. National Digital Repository. It's digital heritage that we saw as NEMIS on behalf of the DOC. There is an MOU that we signed with that company called Sangambe, a very interesting initiative that begins to advance local culture. For those who know Sangambe in Chivenda, it's a hair, and there is many a tale that is told to teach adults and young people about how you relate as a community. So that is done in terms of folklore and tales that have got lessons. And we are hoping that if we produce an animation series, it will promote the preservation of culture, as well as the issue of ensuring that young people can learn in their own languages, similarly to programs that you find like your Takalani Sesame. Okay. In terms of HR, we've got a WSP that we've implemented, and in preparation for the next financial year, we are also doing the next cycle of developing a workplace skills plan, as well as managing issues around performance appraisals. The last time that we reported, we were awaiting adoption by the board of new policies for HR, as well as the strategy. Those have been approved, and we are currently starting to implement those with staff so that we enhance the ability of NEMISA to be able to train, develop, and retain its staff, as well as the recruit talent that is required by the entity. In terms of ensuring compliance with regulatory frameworks, we also have policies that the board has approved. There is ongoing implementation of risk management. The snag with regard to upgrading of technology is that because of resource constraints, you will find that we target those areas that would be reaching a critical threshold with regard to being rendered obsolete. So, you know, you have to juggle the balls with regards to how you spend the available resources, prioritizing those critical areas. We do not have sufficient resources with regards to maintaining currents with industry standards with regards to technology. The establishment of a secure campus, I think Dr. Veso will talk more about that, because it is something that is coupled with the integration and the founding of a new entity with a broader mandate. Improving and aligning stakeholder relations, I think we've spoken about that, the honorable members and chair. The review on the minister's mandate with the shareholder, I think there's more that Dr. Veso will talk about in the strategic plan of the new entity. Alumni engagement, we've got a very functional alumni committee, so we don't have much problems with regards to that. We've got former students, past students who would come and contribute for free. In terms of guest lectures, going out there to hunt for proposals on behalf of NEMISA. Currently, we have a proposal that is sitting with the SAGDA, the NGO for unemployed graduates, where we are also making joint proposals with them to the National Lotteries Board for projects that will benefit our graduates.
You see, I don't know what is happening. It's like playing cards, reshuffling, when you shuffle cards and other things. But don't worry, proceed.
Okay.
I can see they have distracted you. You don't know where you were. That's all.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In terms of student recruitment, we had to scale down on our recruitment campaign, running student exhibitions. You know, when we have career guidance days, because of the intention to have a national footprint, you know, we would deliberately go into those rural far-flung areas in order to expose students to electronic media the program offerings. So you will find that in the report, in the fourth quarter report, our numbers with regards to applicants is dropped significantly due to that, as well as the SABC campaign, which we could not run, you know, preparations around the integration of the three entities. We had hoped that by the time that we go to the SABC for us to recruit students on TV and radio, we would be talking about offerings beyond just the MISA, so that we talk about e-skills as well. So the delays led to a stage where we also had to withdraw the media campaign with the SABC. But we have done registration and orientation. The programs were completed in November, and they were successfully carried out. The community radio program I've spoken about, we are going into mentorship to mentor community radio stations, and mentors have been appointed for each community radio cluster. So the community radios are clustered according to languages. So you have a mentor for each language, and that is a national project where we have trained colleagues in the community radios, and now we are giving them practical hands-on skills where they will actually do practical application to develop drama programs as well as documentaries at the facilities of the public broadcaster in their regional offices. We have also prepared an FET multimedia training for the FET colleges in supporting the Department of Higher Education and Training to strengthen that sector, which program is still running even in the fourth quarter. I'm going to request the CEO to talk about the finance report. CFO.
Thank you, CEO. Good afternoon to members and chairperson and the members. I'm just going to quickly take you through the quarterly finance report. We have placed the three quarters from April to June, July, September, and October and December. And as of the last quarter, which is October to December, we had a surplus of 547. When we did the report, that was the status then, but for all the previous financial periods, we had made losses. We anticipate, though we're trying this year to make our losses a bit low, given the fact that we only received 2% of the funding from last year, so we've only received 34 million from a previous 32 million, which wasn't much for us to work with. We're trying that we should keep it lower than the loss that we had the previous financial year. We had asked for additional funding from the department, which was rejected. If I can take you through to the next slide. On our appropriation income to date, April to December, we had received 25 million of the 32 million, of 34 million, and for other income recognized, we received some income from the Department of Communications with regards to the community radio project. It's a 15 million rand project. To date, we have recognized around 800,000 of it. That's only based on training, not mentorship, which has started later on in the year. The National Digital Repository, which started also as a multi-year project that started last year, the NDR, we have recognized about 1.7 million, so that's additional funding that we we're getting, so that we can curb the losses, so that we don't have a lot of. And then we had other projects that we sourced that from the University of Pretoria, for example, where we made an extra 82,500 just to help with regards to financial viability and sustainability. Direct expenditure for the quarter from October to December, we had spent about 1.9 million. Financial year to date is 5 million. Overhead expenditure is 7 million. Financial year to date is 22 million. So if you can see from the next slide, we actually showing from the green would be what would this expenditure, actual expenditure for December 2012, and the red would be the 2011. So you can see that we're actually keeping the expenditure down with as compared to last year when it comes to overhead expenditure, and with direct expenditure has gone up mainly because we've got projects that are directly linked, whereas last year we didn't have any projects like the NDR, or we were purely dependent on the baseline. But this year, because we've had projects like the National Digital Repository and the in the community radio, that's why we have more than 5 million spent on direct expenses compared to last year. The budget, the variance with regards to, the huge variance with regards to budget and direct expenditure pertains to community radio project, because we had anticipated by then that we would have already had started with the mentorship program, which the project was delayed. So we started late with some of the activities with regards to community radio project and other projects like the National Digital Repository, because our budget was based on the fact that we would have by then had done a lot on the project. But now the projects are drawing to a close, especially National Digital Repository, but the community radio is continuing to the next financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Anything to add, Dr. Vessel, before we go to questions?
I'm sorry, come.
Anything you want to add before we go to members to ask questions on the
report? No, Chairperson, you can.
Okay. Thanks very much. Members, that is the third quarter for NEMISA. Honorable Sebe, Honorable Nivot Trochen, Sebe.
Thank you very much, Honorable.
Einstein?
No, Chair, it's not that maybe I'm worried, because in this presentation there's a lot of no resources allocation, resource restraints, but we are not told about the plan. How are you going to deal with this? Because it's a challenge on its own. And I think a plan is always costed. How did you plan? To an extent that you find yourself in this problem. On the issue of functionality of the library, also if you can just tell us what are you intending to do moving forward. It's a challenge. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Yvonne Rochen.
Thank you, Chair. I'm hoping the integrated strategy plan, I hope it sounds a little bit better than this one, because a little bit big place one listens to this one, so I'm hoping that the next presentation will be much better. So you've covered me regarding the library issue. I'm fully functional. What is the problem there? Just may explain that. If it's not fully functional, I'm hoping that the computer resources and the internet resources for students to research their work online, that there's full connections there, and that's just not a point of connection, but they actually fully resource with the computer. Just being sarcastic there. Secondly, the research capacity you integrated the three big institutions. So I just want to know the resources writing now. Is it a problem? Because if it is an integration, if there's a resource problem, then why? Then obviously the integration obviously would cause a bigger problem then. So, but why is there a resource problem? The last time we spoke with Namisa, when you came in front of us, we encouraged the committee to to contact the SABC. Now you are saying the media campaign is withdrawn. Recruitment of SABC is not done. Can you maybe explain that? Maybe with this new institution it will then take place, but I remember we discussed that at the last time when you came in front of this committee to use, you know, them to use your students, but now why is it withdrawal? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. The lack of resources, I think, has been off. However, Chairperson, I want to just add a question to that. In your opinion, do you believe that the Department of Communications are taking NAMISA seriously? I mean, you've got a very small budget. You have some targets that you want to reach which are constrained by the lack of resources. Looking at the targets that you've identified, it will certainly enhance and produce the skills that we so badly need. We're talking about job creation and about education and so on, and I therefore get the impression that the department doesn't really take them so seriously. So that's basically a comment that I want there. I'm more concerned about under one of your objectives, which is financial viability, which is clearly a problem. You indicate that you are constrained by lack of a tax clearance certificate. What is the problem with a tax clearance certificate? Why can you not get a tax clearance? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kilian Lisom.
Chairperson, I just want to say one thing that I really do like about Namisa's presentation, and I think we should commend them for that, is okay, I'm actually jumping the gun a little bit because I'm on the strat plan.
Don't jump the gun, you shoot.
I will then withhold, Chair. I think my question about the clearance was covered by Honourable Stain, so let me roll that all back on this that I want to pose.
Lesoma?
Chair, my question is triggered by the white students. But having said that, Chair, ignoring the measure of these three bodies, which we are going to get the presentation moving forward for year 13-14, in terms of NAMISA, what is our relationship with the Department of Higher Education, reference to the FET colleges, and also addressing the issue of capacity in terms of the resources, in terms of money, because it also, from where I'm sitting, overlaps to that department, but also it overlaps with the Department of Arts and Culture in terms of filming industry and so forth and all that. We haven't thought about that, or we're still building the capacity, then moving forward we're going to have partner with them, because there is some linkages where I'm sitting as it may. Thank you.
Thank you. You can respond. But I'm requested to ask the people who are managing our IT that they might come and fix the screen. Because we've been calling them, they say they're not responding. Probably if we talk here, they're listening, they'll come. Can they come and fix the screen? Because they can see the screen is dancing. And we are not here to watch a bicycle, which is dancing. So can they come and fix the screen? They've been trying to call them, they're not responding. I can see they're pointing, but they must come and see the screen. We are not here to watch bicycle. Dr. Beth, on your team?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think we deal with a very important issue first, and that is the tax clearance certificate. Then I will proceed to the other questions. I'll ask the CFO to respond to that.
Thank you, Dr. Vest. Thank you, Honourable Members. With regards to tax clearance certificates, one of the strategic objectives that we've got under our strategic plan, we thought that it would actually assist with the
with the resources that we have, the funds that we had from the DOC was we created a strategic objective called financial sustainability, financial viability and sustainability. This strategic plan was meant to actually make NEMISA some sort of whereby we go out there and campaign to get more money. And we had set a target of how much money we would actually go out there and actually start. It would be the first time ever that we actually bring it on the strategic plan to say, you know what, it doesn't help us to actually sit with 34 million and say, department help, you know, we will go out there and we'll find the, we'll try to find money. The drawback with regards to the strategic plan was that most entities, especially when you're going to work with places like Department of departments and public entities, and you're trying to actually get additional funding from them, they would, as a business, they would want one thing, a tax claim certificate. They don't think that you're also a public entity. They would want you to become just another business. Being a 3A, Schedule 3A entity, we've never actually gone out and got a tax claim certificate. On inquiry with the South African Revenue Service, we have found out that they did assessment of our taxes. They started on assessment of our taxes since the year 2000, whereby they indicated that there was a mismatch of certificates, IFP5 certificates, in terms of UIF and SDL that they had found out on. So we had to clear out from the year 2000. We had to basically reconstruct each year to make sure that we clear taxes and we come back and we say we finished with this year, we finished with the next year, until we actually could be on the same par with SARS to say, yes, now you can get a tax and certificate. And we could only accomplish it this quarter, which is January to March. That's when we finished, and we said to the members, some of the issues that we clashed with SARS, we have to bite the bullet and object, because they work on the principle of adulator, penal adulator. So we worked on that. And at the end of the day, we managed to actually get our tax, the same situation, our tax in a row with our taxes. But you can imagine that as we trying to clear this, business just goes out the door, because which means the Copying Film Commission would say, we're waiting. And this does not actually help the strategic objective number two, which is financial sustainability. And at the same time, we cannot actually pay our other overheads that we have shortfall on. So that's where the lack of tax clearance comes. Though we have a great team that goes out and finds more money, they brought a little bit there and here, but we lack somewhere else why we need a tax clearance certificate. But most entities are understanding our situation and they're willing to wait to actually work with us until we get our taxes in order. That's the relationship that you've built. While I'm talking, I just want to answer the question of plan versus budget. With regards, as I said, when we started doing the plan, it was a plan that we have thought when we did the year before 2011, we would have thought that it would be fully funded when we came, we saw to the DOC, this is the plan, and I think even on their slides, they indicated that we required additional funding, and they said no, because in 2011, we were not a priority project of some sort, but this year we are a priority, e-skills is a priority project for the DOC. When we did that, we thought that, okay, even though we don't have the funding, it's very important for an educational institute to have a research center, to be a thought leader when it comes to research and development. And we thought that it would be for us to take it out and only concentrate on training 140 students. We're not doing anything for the sector, or we're not doing anything for Department of Communications. Hence, we went along with the strategic objective on financial sustainability. That's the strategic objective that we thought that it would help on some of our plans, which didn't work out. But at a later stage, we decided to revise our strategic plans on recommendation by the AG and the department in July, whereby we sent a letter also to the DOC this year to say, to, last year, if I'm not mistaken, to say this is what the ones that we can't meet our objectives on, and this is what we can, what the 64 million can meet our objectives for, looking at the two factors, the lack of a tax clearance and funding. Thank you.
Two hands, Honorable Sheen, Honorable Stein. I will make a follow-up. Okay, just go follow-up, then Honorable Sheen.
Jay, I apologize. Maybe it's a bit late today. I'm not as awake as I should be. But I don't think the question about the tax clearance has been answered. You gave us a history of why. And then you said you've got your ducks in a row. But you didn't end by saying the problem is resolved and that you will get the tax certificate or anything like that. So I don't know where we stand as far as that's concerned.
Honorable Sheen.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd just like clarity on...
You have a chicken in a row.
yeah, I just want clarity on how many students you actually graduate every year. And how many students do you have in total on the campus at any one time? I mean, you know, but what is the... Obviously, the students going through various phases. Because, you know, your selected performance indicators say that you should have, what, 60 students. Are those 60 students graduated? Are those 60 students all together through all the courses? Because, you know, I mean, your primary objective is to train students and graduate them. I mean, how many actually do walk out of there with a certificate each year?
You may respond. Just start with the tax clearance issue.
Yes, we have sorted out the tax clearance.
Chairperson, thank you. I think most of the other questions we will usually deal with when we present the integrated plan. You know, for example, research capacity, whether MISA is being taken seriously. It has been a problem for many years. Small budget, small numbers. I think at this point in time, skilling is actually very high up on the agenda of the DLC and is provide leadership in that regard. So I think that is changed and will change in future as well. Our interaction with other departments, I will speak to that, that is fundamentally important for the new institution. The media campaign and recruitment, that will be part of the new institution as well in terms of a campaign and advocacy and awareness campaign around new programs and so on that will happen. The library, I don't, perhaps the CEO can respond to that question. And also to the number of students that graduate every year.
Thank you, Dr. Wesson. So are you saying the outstanding questions will be answered on your presentation? I'm just trying to understand what I'm getting well. They'll be answered when you do the presentation about the integrated.
Yes, I mean in going through the plan, I mean those issues I will address.
Will that suffice, members? They are saying they'll wait and see. So can you go to integrated?
Respond to the number of students and graduates and the library.
Oh, sorry, you can do that before you go to integration, integrated.
Yeah, the number of students I think fluctuates. The maximum capacity that the MISA has is 130. Now, in the issue of the throughput of students, most of our programs, we've got over 80% pass rate. Over 80% pass rate. The one program that was a difficulty was the foundation for design for this year, which is a program that we started to run in 2012 academic year. And the performance of those students, I think, came to 36%.
So that is a, and in fact we're not running it for this year, given some of the capacity problems around there. But all in all, you know, on average it would be over 80%. Some would be 100% the pass rate. And I'm talking about programs, the pass rate that would be endorsed by the HQA. So it's not just an EMISA certificate. It's a certificate that is also endorsed by MICTC.
Yes, there's just one question you haven't answered. How many students graduate per year?
The number, not the percentage.
On average, it would be 99 students.
Thank you. Would that suffice, Honorable Shin? Okay. Tattoo verse. You know what is interesting? At one point you were at DOC, heading the policy, acting DG, and the MISA was existing. And there's this problem about finances and so on. Can you feel it is here?
Yes, Chairperson, it's not easy to steal the nation with that budget. But we, with the integration, I think we have a different model and a different approach, and I think we will be able to deal with these issues in a totally different way, you know, within the context of the 21st century. What I will do very briefly, and we would like, you know, to entertain questions, and let me also say that we noted the comments and the issues raised by the AG this morning, and we will see to those things within the next day or two. It is sometimes many context issues or conceptual issues that we have to agree on.
Now, what do we call you? What do we call you? It's an integrated term, but what do we call you?
Well, you can see we still call it the Institute.
Oh.
In brackets, the MISA is on ESI. I think that the board and the minister, you know, will be dealing with a new name or keep a name, and the that work will be done within the next weeks. So what we will do is
the Institute. Yes. In Parquet, Nemisa, Isa, and Iski.
Oh, Nemisa is the National Electronic Media Institute of South Africa. ISA is the Institute for Space and Software Applications, I'll talk about it later as well. ESI is the eSkills Institute. And we're integrating the three entities within the DOC and to...
It's an on-name brand, ma'am.
To form new institute, and we call that the Institute for the purposes of this presentation. It will get a name. So what I will do is to really briefly focus on the issues that you see there, with a focus on the situation analysis to give you a sense of the environment in which we operate, and also how we're dealing with the organizational environment at this point in time. I'll take you through the strategic objectives, and you will have in front of you a copy of the annual performance plan that I will refer to later as well. Now, it is important for this new institution, of course, we have to respond to the DOC's strategic objectives, and one in particular in building a socio-economic enabler, or being a social economic enabler for a knowledge economy. So we will talk about information society, knowledge economy, and so forth. One of the mission of the DOC is actually building an inclusive information society. It is also our point of departure. But in terms of the vision for this new institution, and that is very important, there are very important concepts there, is to be a national catalytic collaborator, facilitator, change agent, and thought leader in the development of South Africa's and Africa's human resource capacity in the optimum utilization of ICTs for the development and growth of an inclusive information society and knowledge economy. Now, those are a lot of words, but they have very important meaning for what we will be doing in the institute. I think it is also just to give you a sense of what we've done in terms of the strategic planning process, and without going into too much detail, what we've done in the past year or two, and also going forward. We have consulted very widely on what we call National E-Skills Plan of Action. We've delivered the first plan of action in 2010. We will be delivered within the next few weeks the second National E-Skills Plan of Action for the country, and that will be developed into a National E-Skills Plan. Now we had a summit last year in October where we had some of the best thought leaders around e-skills in the world at a summit, and about 53 different countries from all over the world to engage on e-skills and e-skills development and research and many other issues that we've now incorporated into a second National E-Skills Plan of Action. Of course, the process is, and to talk about costing, we have to start looking seriously at the outcomes of this conference and the plan in terms of budget. Very importantly, is the execution and the monitoring, and I will talk about that.
Which document are we? I can see better those drives. Trying to get a document. Which one of the two are you?
The presentation.
I remember the interview here. They'll end up breaking the tariff and the cast and everything. I'm trying to look for a document.
Slide 4 of the presentation.
No, proceed with it.
So what is also important is also the issue around accreditation that we will also talk about later again. So key and fundamental to the new institute is aggregation of the delivery of skills within the e-skills framework.
Is the time of the day, I suppose, you can proceed. Members, do you have the presentation, all of you? If you don't have, can you raise your hand? Because what I'm observing here is anarchy. I can assure you. just raise your hand if you don't have the document. Can we try to get 5 copies also of the document? You can. I'm seeing here, it's very interesting when you are busy reading and going through. You can proceed.
Probably just to be fair enough, they've given us a document not in a slide form as what he's presenting. Now we've got a problem in terms of making follow-up in terms of the documentation. It will have that one. Because page 4 and page 8 is not the same in terms of even the layout is not the same.
Yes, now we distributed the presentation last week, so it must be in the pack.
This is the document that they are using. We should be having it. But if we have not brought it from our offices, it's okay. We'll try to get you a copy. We received it last week. This one. Who does not have it? Who does not have it? The same people who still don't have it. You can just, we are going to arrange the copies. I was asking because what I was looking here, it was like Chef Anna, you see. Something like that.
So you can proceed, Dr. So we'll look for the document.
Thank you. So I think this slide, slide 5 of the presentation, just indicates when we talk about positioning South Africa and you know, within the context of a growing information society and economy, what the issues are. Apart from the fact that the world is changing, I think we talked a lot about bandwidth and broadband this morning in terms of international internet bandwidth and the growth and the gap between developing countries and developed countries. I mean, that is growing in South Africa, as we know, is a problem in this regard. Also in terms of mobility, I think there are an increased world over in mobile subscriptions. So the fact that the world is changing from, you know, into this knowledge economy, information society, the growth in bandwidth and broadband, also the use of mobile technology, you know, get us to think about how we have to respond to the skilling of people in the country. That is the context that we have to deal with. This slide is actually very important in the sense that when we talk in many instances about building an information society knowledge economy, we focus on the ICT infrastructure level. And this is problematic because there's so much focus, and in many developing countries that was the focus in the past, but what is actually becoming more important is actually the services and the applications you build onto that infrastructure, the institutions, and most importantly is actually how this infrastructure that we're talking about will be of benefit to society, and what we will do with the institute will be this holistic view in terms of building the skills of people in the country, also to be in line with the NDP, where it talks about an illiterate society by 2050. So we have to consider all of these things and these issues, these different levels are built into the institute in terms of skill. And of course, right at the right hand side of the slide is about content creation. So you can have all the infrastructure in place and everything in place, but its content is what is terribly important, and there will be a focus on that as well. Just also to give a different perspective on this information society, if we look at the World Economic Forum and the ITU, and the issues that they regard as important to rank countries in the world. And we know that, and it has been mentioned earlier on, that South Africa is going down the rankings. There are three things that internationally are measured to rank nations in the world in terms of building information and knowledge economy. It's information society or knowledge economy technologies and access to that. That is very important. We talk a lot about that. Affordability, we talked a lot about, and then there's also, of course, skills that we have to develop. So those three key measurements are used to rank countries in the world. And then, of course, on the USAID side, it's about individuals, business, government, you know, to deal with the USAID, and key to that is innovation. And those things must impact on outcomes in our case, the intensity framework and the NDP. This slide is also only to show also to you the ICT ecosystem, and on the right hand bottom side is also, you know, the e-skills issue. But what's important here is to understand that within the ICT ecosystem, it is in the end the users, the consumers, and the citizens. You can have all the processes and all of the issues in place, but if it's not a focus on in the end on the consumer to use these content and the services and the applications and the networks, I think you're missing the point. The challenges facing South Africa is, I mean, there are many challenges and we categorize them and we're responding to this as far as the institute is concerned. We find that the ICT infrastructure across the country is very untargeted, unstructured and uncoordinated. And I mean, this morning there was a lot of talk about, for example, community centers, tutoring centers, school connectivity. So that is a problem, and we have to respond to that in terms of what we want to do. We know that the education system is not producing sufficient number of people to work in the ICT sector. We have to respond to that. We also know that our education system is not producing the required skills for advancing the knowledge economy, and there's a lack of central coordination of demand and supply and the aggregation of data for building e-skills capacity. Now, our national response to this on the left-hand side is that we have to collaborate, and we will talk about that later again. We have to collaborate, collaboration between government departments, academia, the business, and with a serious focus on impact. Not only the number of students in terms of outputs that you deliver, but really what would be the impact of skilly people on our economy and on society in terms of improving the quality of life. Secondly, we need to have an integrated approach so that we deal in an integrated way with business development, governance, service delivery, socioeconomic development and employment readiness. That is of course, very important to us. And thirdly, we have to have a focus on research, and I will talk to that about again. Now, just to give you a sense of the integration, how we integrate, where we're coming from, and what will eventually happen. So ISA, the Institute for Software and Space and Software Applications, was established many years ago in 2001 as a directorate of the DOC to deal with providing in collaboration with the University of Stellenbosch space software engineers for the space industry. And that program was actually officially terminated in 2005, but the staff continue working, focusing mainly on developing software for e-government. NAMISA, you know, was established in 90, or rather, it's the forerunner to NAMISA was actually the broadcasting institute for South Africa. It was renamed in 2001 as NAMISA and actually relaunched in 2006. At the moment, NAMISA offers five MICT CETA accredited courses, namely National Certificate in Animation, 3D Animation Visual Effects, Certificate in Design, and also a Certificate in Film, Television and Video Production. You can see there it is NQF Level 5, NQF Level 4 qualifications that are being offered at this point in time, and you've heard about the community radio stations program and also the NDR. As far as currently the ESI, it focuses on six thematic areas, and we'll tell you how this is put together. It focuses on e-inclusion and social innovation and skills development within that context. Then we are focusing on creative new media industries. Firstly, the enablement for government service delivery, ICT for rural development, the skills involved there, and then also a knowledge-based economy and e-literacy, or what we also can call e-social astuteness, and lastly, what we call connected health, and it is also using social media in the health space. And over the past year or so, we, through the ESI, have delivered quite a number of things, a number of courses that we've developed and delivered in association with universities in South Africa. We're working very closely with MT colleges. We We have collaboration and MOUs with 28 FET colleges in the country. We've identified creative industries, including broadcasting, ICT, and the work is currently being done by NAMISA as an area for growth. We have also, the last bullet there, we have developed quite a number of proof of concepts, and you know, we've impacted already quite a number of citizens across a wide spectrum of citizens. Now, how are we going to integrate the three institutions is reflected in that diagram. We have a moment what we call five co-labs, collaborative laboratories, and these are located in provinces, focusing, each one of them focusing on a specific theme area that I've mentioned a while ago. So, for example, we have in the Gauteng co-lab, we focus on creative new media industries. And the MISA focusing on media and broadcasting and TV and radio fits within that cluster that we're developing. But we're now doing much more, not only level 4s and 5s, but we're developing higher level courses as well. We've, for example, developed the DDT curriculum for national use. And we also, in collaboration with the University of Pretoria, developing a postgraduate diploma in digital media. The Northern Cape, that is in collaboration with the Bar University of Technology, we developing the e-literacy focus. In the Western Cape, we focusing on e-inclusion social innovation. In KLEC N, our co-lab there focusing on e-enablement and effective service delivery in government. The Eastern Cape, in collaboration with Walvis School University, ICTs for Rural Development. We signed an MOU with the University of Limpopo to have a focus, in association with the university, a focus on what we call connected health, or e-health, or m-health, as some people call it. We still have to engage the North in the Northwest Province, Mpumalanga, and the Free State, but we're talking to partner universities there. Now, in the center, we will have what we can call the central office, central management office, that will be responsible for the five programs that we're offering that we have in the new institute that I will mention later. This slide also gives you a sense of when we talk about a distributed model, where these different co-labs are located in the different provinces. Each co-lab, each presence in a province, builds its own network right down into communities, so that we have a presence across the country, so that we can massify the delivery of skills in these different areas that I've mentioned. So that we have a national spread. And if you see the number that we have to deliver, and if the NDP talks about an e-literate society by 2030, then we have to massify the skills in a big way. It's a big intervention. I think the issue was also raised in terms of working with other entities and institutions. We have built a national and international network already of partners that we work with. For example, it's important, you know, to see there that, you know, we work very closely with other government departments, Department of Higher Education and Training, Basic Education, Rural Development. We engage with other departments as well. We've engaged with provincial and local governments in terms of adopting an e-skills approach in their plans. And Eastern Cape and the Western Cape, for example, adopted the eSkills Institute as a key partner in delivery of eSkills in these provinces. We also have international linkages and partnerships with the United Nations Development Programme, the IDU, UNCTAD, and so forth. We work with Tec de Monterrey in Mexico. We work closely with FET colleges collaboration with the Department of Higher Education and Training. We, the green one there is about our universities that we're partnering with. We're working with Telkom, USASA, and even more so in the future with Centec and other institutions. And then we have close working relationships with private sector companies as well. And of course, we have collaborating with similar institutions and universities in other countries as we've listed there. And that is very important if we look at how are we going to deliver our skills as an entity on its own. We will never be able to do that. So we have to build this network and make sure that the resources are pooled and that we aggregate delivery of skills. This slide is only to give you a sense of what we, on the left-hand side is, we have to get our people illiterate. On the basis of illiteracy, we will be able to deliver information workers or knowledge workers for the future and all of the professionals in the sector. And the skills that we have delivered to get to that point are e-business skills, e-practitioner skills, and e-user skills. And this is quite a massive task because users are people not using ICT to support their own work in the banks, in the corporate sector, the secretaries, so it's a broad spectrum of people that we have to give skills in the country, but only if we collaborate with other institutions. We talked about innovation. We have established and will continue with that establishment of what we call application factories, where we have already three in place, an application factory in Gauteng and our co-lab focusing on mobile applications within the context of new creative industries, and that is where we think many jobs can be created. And the idea is to create an environment for innovation. This slide is actually important to show that the co-labs that we're talking about will be connected virtually. In other words, a curriculum that is being developed e-governance. For example, we're now developing a curriculum to e-skill community development workers. Now, that curriculum we will put in the e-skills cloud, and that curriculum can be utilized by any of the other co-labs in the country. So we don't duplicate, we don't waste money, we develop once, and we can use, depending on the capacity in the provinces, develop those skills either remotely, if the technology is there, and that is why we have talked to Centec and USASA to make sure that the technology, the connectivity that's provided to our centers is technology that will allow for virtual teaching and training. And that is where I think this morning's discussion around connectivity is so important. Otherwise, you connect an institution and you actually can't use it to virtually get into the rural areas. So we have to spread this connectivity right into the rural areas to reach the masses of people in terms of skilling if we want to reach our target. This just to indicate to you what we have at the moment in terms of the centers, USASA centers. And we know that many of these centers are not optimally utilized, sometimes because the programs being offered in these centers are not appropriate, or the technology is actually not sufficient. So we think of developing what we call smart knowledge community centers will take you more away from only dumping technology or connecting, and people don't know what to do with the technology and the connectivity. So those are the areas in that circle that we will build and develop within these centers so that people can utilize the computers and the connectivity to really access the information that they need. And we have developed a course that we call is a certificate in e-center management. So the managers that put into these centers are really skilled to deal with community-related issues and developmental issues. So we have a course, and we already have skilled quite a number of people to work in these centers in order to utilize what already. And fundamental to the institute is not to reinvent the wheel, but to really utilize what is already in existence. So we don't want to establish more and new centers, but to see how we can use what we have in existence currently in the rural areas, in the peri-urban areas, in the townships. We look at what is the capacity at universities to support us in that. Now this slide, of course, is very ambitious, but if we need impact on skilling South Africans for a new economy and the future, if we think about we talk about great R's and you know CDE early on, we don't have time. We can't wait until 2050 to start skilling people. We have to do it now. And based on our current experience, we reckon that we need, in the next 5 years, we have to impact 10 million people in this country at different levels of skin, right from delivering thought leaders and to understand what ICTs are about, and that can be MDs of companies, it could be members of this committee, it could be cabinet, it could be anyone in a decision-making position to understand how ICT can be used in the organization to increase productivity and understanding of ICTs. Within the creative new media industries, there is a growing area, and we already have good networks with universities in Australia, the forerunners in the creative industry environment. So these are the numbers. If we think that we will be able to impact on the skilling of the nation, these are the numbers in the next 5 years. And this is based on what we already have impacted on with a limited budget. In our 12-13 year, we have already, in the different areas, you know, right down to communities, we already have impacted about 13,000 people with a very small budget. But what we're doing is collaborate. We collaborate with universities, with overseas companies, and sometimes you get things for free. You need not sometimes you need lots of money. For example, our interaction with Tec de Monterrey University in Mexico is number one, almost number one in the world around virtual teaching, and they're providing us with information and prepare to share curricula with us for free. So we need not to spend millions of rand in curriculum development. Likewise, with our engagement with universities of Africa, we've developed, we're busy at the moment with 40 different curricula, and with again limited money. We provide the leadership and we contribute to the e-skills curriculum because we don't want to deliver more of the same. So we have to come up with unique curricula, and these are the numbers that we talk about. It can be achieved, and the sooner we get more money, we get more budget, the sooner we can reach our target. So we actually putting in place a national serious intervention. That is why we have to work with other government departments as well. And I think the PCC has a very important role to assist us in advocacy, in creating awareness, and to make sure that there's collaboration with other government departments and so forth. And last, or towards the end now, I think we have identified five strategic goals, and these are also the five strategic programs that we have, that we will have in the institute, you have to understand that we have this association with universities nationally. So the CoLab is an association. So we have an SRA with universities in terms of what we must do, the research that we must do. In fact, we also have a national, what we call a REDNES, a research network for e-skills development. So the focus there is on how do you really deliver e-skills, and we're in the process of looking at an academic publication so that we can capture the research. For example, for the past 2 years, we had research colloquia where we invite international thought leaders, national thought leaders, to come and think about the e-skilling of the nation. So we've built that. So the outcome one, or also our program, is about building a the last one there. Our strategic goal is to build an institution that will be responsive to the needs and demands of a knowledge and learning organization. So it's not just another institute, it's not just another university or another FET college or another school. It's really, we're looking at a totally new model to deliver skills in a massive height way. And that is important what we put together here. Our strategic outcome to our program, very important is to deliver on collaborative networks for e-skills delivery. The e-skills institute will ensure that we provide a leadership, the thought leadership, that we have a collaboration from institutions, that we can deliver utilizing the resources that already exist. And at the same time, we manage is a small, mean, and clean center that will then manage and link with these co-labs that we've established. Our goal three, our program, is about creating this strong human capital base for life opportunities in a knowledge-driven economy. So it's not only delivering students for work, but we also have to understand that we have to ensure that society is starting to develop a knowledge economy, information society attitude. We talk about e-social astuteness. Like we in the agrarian age, you know, people had a rural kind of mindset. In the industrial age, you had an industrial kind of mindset. We have to get the nation to develop this new environment. And again, we can only satisfy if we get our teachers skilled, our youngsters skilled, our universities, our NGOs involved, the private sector involved to make sure that they have this national impact. Our second goal is about to develop this critical mass of students, because we have to develop and skill at the top in order to make sure that we build that capacity to impact lower down as well. So that is why there is also the focus on delivering of postgraduate students. Now again, you do it not for much money. We at the moment, we have about, I think, I mean, Muna can correct me, about 10 or 12 honor students at the University of Pretoria doing research in e-skills. So we're not paying anything. We're just giving them the themes, giving them the context, and they will then be ready to teach. And that is, you know, what we have to do to train the trainers, build that high-level capacity to impact lower down. And that will also put our people into the higher level. And then lastly is the expertise what we terribly need, and that is a monitoring and evaluation environment. So we're busy with building an M&E system for aggregation. In other words, students are doing e-skills courses all over the place. We have to aggregate, and in order for us to understand how far we are from an e-literate society, who else are involved. So we're building that M&E system, and we can already show you, you know, who is getting skilled where and by whom, so that we have concrete numbers in the end. Of course, we face risks. I think, you know, we've built this collaboration with big international companies, with donor agencies, with leading universities overseas, and we have to succeed at this point in time. I mean, we have serious collaboration with the ITU. In fact, we're one of the partners of the newly established ITU Academy. So we work very closely, and we have to succeed with this project. And the mitigation then is what I've indicated already, is how we can mobilize government behind this to make this a real national initiative where the department and can provide the leadership. The inability to deliver the recommendations of the National ESG Plan of Action, again, we had all these international thought leaders here, we have to make sure that we implement that action plan. We have to build the partnerships, building the partnerships for us to deliver on that, as we know the limited funding from government, so we have to make plans to ensure that we implement what we envisage. And the inability to address ESG's challenges with limited budget allocation, what we're proposing is actually an e-readiness fund to attract funding investments. And I think there are many private sector companies, international donor agencies, and that is why we have to make sure that we get our tax clearance certificate in place so that we can start delivering from our side on the research, shallow research. So there's many things that we can do, so we need to get our tax clearance certificate sorted out, and we've done so fortunately. Then, of course, lack of adequate physical infrastructure to carry out the mandate of the Institute. Again, we're leveraging the physical space at the moment of universities. We don't have a building in the provinces, but we negotiate with universities, with NGOs. We can use all these centers around the country. If we have the right technology in there, if we can connect with our virtual hub that we have in the Strand, we have a proof of concept. So the technology that we want in the centers and in the provinces, we've done the proof of concept. We know what is needed. And I think that is awesome. And then, of course, the world is going virtual. We can only reach out to thousands of people if we put our courses online. So we also indicate to the people with whom we develop the curriculum that we have to develop curricula for blended learning. In other words, face-to-face and virtual. The ideal is to have certain courses only virtual, but then we need the proper technology in our centers in the rural areas so that we can engage the masses of our people. Otherwise, we will never be able to get to the masses in terms of the way we want to skill them. That chairperson is in broad outline how we see this institute. We can go into more detail in terms of delivering in each of our programs and but I think it will be better if we can respond to questions. I think there's supposed to be a budget here. It's not attached to this, but we have the 34 million, 35 million allocated to. It's unfortunately not. It's in the strategic plan. It's in the slides. The slides. Slide presentation. It was added. But if you've seen the budget of NAMESA, that was 34 million rand. We got 13 million rand, so we have in total 49 million rand to seal the nation. So you can understand that we will have to move far beyond what we get from government if we're serious about skilling our people. And that is why I've indicated the collaboration is so important, that we can get things done without government money. But of course, we can't get collaboration going if we don't have money as well to put on the table. Steyn's comment around whether the DOC is taking NAMESA seriously, I hope there will be serious consideration for more budget as far as the new institute is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the presentation by the no-name brand institute. Acting chairperson, want to say something before we move?
Not at this stage. We will welcome, questions, clarification and so on, and then we will proceed from there.
Thanks very much. I'm just trying to check whether they are ready for us for dinner next door. If someone can check so that we can just go for dinner. But in the meantime, members, questions? Honorable Shin Lisoma Drogen. Honorable Shin.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would just basically like to divide into two categories, if I can, the Institute and the MISA. Let's just do the Institute first, which I think is a wonderful vision. I think it's something that could really work well and be of benefit. The only problem is financing it. And so what I'm wanting to know is how much are you sort of looking at, and have you obviously pitched this to Treasury, and what is their response to it? Because obviously this isn't an overnight thing, it's an evolving thing, so how do you see it evolving, should you have some kind of financial support? That's on the Institute. Now, what is, assuming it's not going to happen this year, just assuming it's not going to happen, what is going to happen to the other two institutes, the eSkills, and that, how are they going to be working with you for the next year to pay their bills? And then I'm obviously looking at the budget allocation for NAMISA, and you have, 35,700 million coming in from, 35.7 million coming in from Treasury this financial year, 37.8 next year, 39.6 the following year, which is an increase of 5.1%, I think, is an average over the medium term, which obviously isn't very much for you to grow your plan. But what actually disturbs me is that you've had 90 graduates, roughly, a year. It costs the taxpayer close to 400,000 Rand per graduate. Now, that's what, let's just say these people have been there for 1 year. It costs 120,000 Rand to train a doctor over 6 years, and then they do national service, and they pay back their loans. Now, as far as I know, there's no strategy for the MISA students, graduates, to pay back the money, the 400,000 odd that has been invested in them every year. This is exorbitant. Now that you've been using the money for other things, it's not just training students, but your mandate is to train students, and it costs 400,000 Rand each. These must be the most expensive graduates in the world, and it's not sustainable. My thing is, if you're into education, you must go and compete with the other education people. Go work with Blade. You are an education institution, and you're costing this department an awful lot of money for very little output in the end, and I would like your views on that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shin. The Soma Drogenstein, you are next on my list, but we have to break for dinner. We'll come back quarter to 8. Thanks very much. Just turn right into the dining hall. The dinner will be served there. We'll come back at quarter to. That will be quarter to 8. Thank you.